Ani, and welcome to Bomsida, an Aboriginal news magazine program that features news, current affairs, a focus on community and culture, spotlights on entertainment and great tunes, and every flavor from Aboriginal artists. I'm your host, Jennifer Ashwasage. Today on Bomsida, I have a music special for you. I'll highlight artists from several different genres, from country to jazz to traditional and more. But first, here's your news. Your national Aboriginal news. About 1,000 First Nations citizens in Ontario protested the harmonized sales tax on Parliament Hill on March 10th. Ontario Regional Chief Angus Talou said the tax is immoral and affects the most impoverished people in the province and affects treaty rights for tax exemption. The demonstrators marched to the Ministry of Finance building a few blocks away from Parliament Hill. The regional chief was demanding a meeting with the Minister of Finance, Jim Flaherty. First Nations have been against the harmonized sales tax since it was announced a year ago. First Nation political organizations have launched anti-HST campaigns throughout the province. Some fax and email the Ministries of Indian Affairs and Finance. At the rally, Whitefish River First Nation Chief Shining Turtle says he was told by both ministries to stop sending emails and faxes. The chief says he would also like to see more rallies and action to stop the HST to First Nation citizens and see the continuation of point-of-sale exemption. A former lieutenant colonel told an audience at Frontier Centre for Public Policy in Winnipeg that Canadians and political leaders are ignoring all the signs of looming Aboriginal uprising. The Vancouver Sun reports Douglas Bland gave a speech titled "Where Are Aboriginal Affairs in Canada Headed?" earlier in March. Bland said the typical federal or provincial politician in Canada has no idea what to do with this matter, while First Nations are emboldened by politicians' reluctance to act. Bland said the country is vulnerable to a national disturbance given its economic dependence on the export of oil, gas, natural gas, hydropower, and other commodities to the U.S. He added Aboriginal communities are sitting on those supply chains, and at any moment they can turn that system off, which would pose a danger to the economy and to Canadian sovereignty. Bland pointed out examples of what he called Aboriginal unrest. He said First Nations groups have staged roadblocks on Highway 401 near Kingston and put up barricades on major railways. A crisis over disputed land occurred in Oka, Quebec in 1990 and in Caledonia in 2006. Another standoff took place in 2001 near Cornwall between Mohawks and Border Services personnel who had planned to start carrying firearms. The Aboriginal population is the fastest growing in the country, with a median age of 25 compared to 40 for the non-Aboriginal population. He said social problems include poverty, lack of education, and high incarceration rates. Plus, he said First Nations with degrees do not return to the communities to help with the issues. However, Bland failed to report unemployment on First Nations is three times higher than the Canadian average. First Nations have a mixed reaction to the federal budget. The British Columbia Treaty Commission is optimistic the government recognizes First Nations have an essential role in building the economic backbone in the country. The BC Treaty Commission says the completion of treaties in that province will unite First Nations as economic partners. The Native Women's Association of Canada, meanwhile, is pleased the budget has set aside $10 million over 2 years to address the high number of missing and murdered Aboriginal women in the country. Meanwhile, Chiefs of Ontario Regional Chief Angus Talou is disappointed with the budget. Talou says First Nations are once again left out of plans to improve competitiveness and innovation in the Canadian economy. Talou adds education is priority, which needs to see more support because education is key to move out of priority. Assembly First Nations Grand Chief Sean Atlio echoes Talou's sentiments. Atlio says the budget falls short. However, since the government announced in the throne speech it would endorse the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, the National Chief expects to work fully with Canada based on the principles of partnership, respect, and inclusion set out in the UN document. Treaty No. 3 First Nations in Ontario have signed an agreement in principle with Brett Resources for a formal impact benefit agreement. Key components of the agreement include employment opportunities during construction, development and operation of the project, and contract bidding for signature First Nations. The company is also to provide $400,000 in the first year and $250,000 thereafter to go towards First Nations education and training. The company has also agreed to issue just over 1 million shares to the First Nations once a variety of milestones have been reached. Brett Resources is a Canadian minerals exploration company. The eight First Nations and company inked the agreement March 9th. A First Nations advocacy group in Manitoba is considering legal action after a post promoting racism appeared in a website on March 4th. The ad was called Free Native Extraction Service, and it was found on usedwinnipeg.com. A Garden Hill First Nation woman told the Winnipeg Free Press she came across the ad while she was looking for used TV on the site. Grand Chief Dave Harper says the ad, which was taken down that afternoon, is a hate crime. The ad suggested its service would provide harmless relocation of Aboriginal youth who were described as pesky little buggers hanging outside your home in the back alley or on the corner. The ad went on to read the service would provide harmless relocation with a phone call and relocate them to their habitat, which, according to the ad, includes the Res or Salter Street. Harper believes the posting is a criminal matter and is exploring legal action against the website. Meanwhile, the host of usedwinnipeg.com wouldn't tell the newspaper who posted the ad or where the posting was generated from. Tuberculosis rates among First Nations in the country is 30 times higher than the rest of the population. That, from a recently released Health Canada report, which released its findings March 10th. The rate of TB is even higher in Inuit communities. TB is a highly infectious disease which is spread through the air. Experts say it's a byproduct of overcrowded homes, malnutrition, and poor overall health. Some Manitoba First Nations have recorded some of the highest rates of TB in the world since the mid-1970s. TB is considered one of the deadliest infectious diseases, particularly in developing countries. The Southern Chiefs organization in Manitoba is seeking intervener status at the Public Utilities Board hearings. The CSO wants to ensure First Nation interests are protected and that future Manitoba Hydro Risk Management and Risk Strategy initiatives include transparency, accountability, and full public disclosure. The organization wants the Utilities Board to explain the findings in a report made public last month in the so-called whistleblower case. The report made directly to Bob Brennan by Manitoba Hydro Risk's consultant ties the utility's antiquated models to reservoir mismanagement, inaccurate forecasting, and the risk of disaster. Last fall, CSO asked for an independent environmental audit of Manitoba Hydro developments and water storage practices. A press release from the CSO states there has been no response to the request to date. The CSO resolution made last fall called on the Manitoba government and the Government of Canada to conduct a full environmental audit of Manitoba Hydro to assess the continuing environmental, cultural, and economic impacts of hydro-related projects. Grand Chief Chicapo said in a press release, communities have documented evidence of homes that must be relocated because of accelerated shoreline erosion, ground saturation, and high water tables and flooding, which are introducing mold growth in family homes and buildings, causing sickness to the people. And that's your National Aboriginal News. To mark International Women's Week, I thought I would choose a selection from Spirit Winds CD. They're a women's hand drumming group based in Toronto. The song I chose is Andayan, which is also the name of a Native women's shelter in Toronto.
Hey, yeah, ha, away, hi, yo. Hey, yeah, ha, away, hi, yo.
Hey, yeah, hey, oh. Ghost warrior walks with no place to go. Who am I? Who am I? Your love hides beneath this ancient rage. No more masks, hold back our rightful place. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
That was Mishy Donovan with Who You Are, Who I Am from her CD Journey Home. Mishy is a Chippewa Cree from Alberta, and the album Journey Home, Mishy says, really does represent a journey home, a place of peace, which in her experience is found her creator. And now we'll turn to something more bluesy from George Leach. Leach is from Lillooet, BC, and he's not only a musician, but he's an actor as well. And he picked up Best Male Artist and Best Rock Album at the 2000 Canadian Aboriginal Music Awards for his album Just Where I'm At. And here's a cut from that album. Here's Indian Blues.
Thank you.
something from Farrah Palmer. In 2008, her CD entitled Phoenix received an astounding 11 nominations from over 8 individual music award shows across Canada and the U.S., with wins for Best Pop Recording, Best Producer Engineer, Outstanding Musical Achievement in a Contemporary Field, and 3 top 10 singles, which charted on independent Canadian and U.S. radio stations. And Farrah got her first taste of stage life at the age of 12 when she sang in an outdoor concert alongside artists such as Buffy St. Marie, Floyd Red Crow Westerman, Morley Loon, and Winston Watney. Since then, she has been acknowledged as a powerhouse vocalist, a heart and soul-inspired songwriter, role model, and a dedicated workshop presenter. And now here's a cut from that CD, Spoiled.
I want it all kind of good. Living in the make-believe fantasy world. A little bit pampered, a little bit sweet, a little bit incomplete, but that's me, and it's just the way I am. But you don't know me, you don't own me. You try to judge me and to control me. Who are you to tell me what to do? It's my life, not yours.
Okay, now we'll switch gears yet again with Burnt Project One. That band is based in Winnipeg, and the 11-member band incorporates elements of rock, blues, jazz, and funk in its music. The Avenue is their first CD, which was released in 2003, and here's Broken Bones from that CD.
Wake up, guys who got your pictures spread out on the floor.
A beautiful woman she'd take me to the moon. She had me thinking someday she would change. A beautiful woman with a heart made of stone. A beautiful woman with a heart made of stone. Okay, check it out.
That was Evil-Hearted Woman from country artist Edward Gamblin from his album Bright Blue Moon. The Cree sensation has been on the music scene for a couple of decades now, and he's also a residential school survivor, and those experiences has given him plenty to write and sing about. The Aboriginal community offers quite a diverse selection of musical genres suit everyone's tastes. So far in today's show, we've heard women's hand-drumming music, pop rock, blues, eclectic funk, and country. Now, we'll check out some Métis-style fiddling. The fiddle is the main instrument used in Métis music, and apparently in the early days, since fiddles were very expensive, not to mention hard to find, the Métis would make their own from maple wood and birch bark. Traditional Métis fiddle music is not at all structured like mainstream with bar structure and style, but get ready to tap your toes and let's check out Calvin Volrath's Red River Jig. Thank you. Anthony is another Métis artist, but unlike Calvin Volrath, whom we just heard from, Shane is a jazz musician. He's also a filmmaker, and his film Tekaronto was shown around the International Film Festival circuit. He also teaches filmmaking throughout the year to Aboriginal youth across the country, and we're going to hear a cut from his CD, Work to Do. And this song is called Manitou, and it was influenced by the horrific September 9/11 events and its after effects, with consumerism and reality TV trying to go on like nothing ever happened. So here it is, Manitou.
Troubles you will find. good stuff's good enough, yeah. Turn things around. Don't let the good times get you too high. 'Cause the higher you get, the further you are from that fall. The higher you get, the further you are from that fall. What you wish for, boy, may be a sin. Choices we made yesterday, you wish you never made. Sometimes with time, everything works out okay. Don't let the bad times get you down. Stuff's good enough, yeah. To turn things around. Don't let the good times get you too high. The higher you get, the further you are gonna fall. The higher you get, the further you are gonna fall. Down. The good stuff's good enough, yeah. To turn things around. Don't let the good times get you too high. 'Cause the higher you get, the further you are from the fall. Yeah, the higher you get, the further you are from the fall.
That was Fortune from J.C. Campbell's CD, Lazy James. That CD was the winner of the Best Blues CD at the Aboriginal People's Choice Awards in 2008, and J.C. describes himself as a country blues artist. We'll go out rocking now with something from Derek Miller. One music review suggests the Six Nations artist is like Hank Williams and Link Wray on peyote. Here's a beautiful ocean from Derek Miller's latest CD, Dirty Looks.
A faraway heart, this kiss of devotion tears you apart in the breath of a whisper. A moth burns in flames. I swear I surrender. I swear I surrender. Like a lonely heart that mingles all night long. The traffic is pouring through streets gone mad. In the bells of your morning, does the world seem sad? Oh, don't look back. Don't look back. lonely odd domingo.
Listening to Bomb Siddha with Jennifer Ashwasage. Bomb Siddha is an Aboriginal news magazine program which includes current affairs, art and entertainment in a cross-genre of music from Aboriginal artists. Bomb Siddha means walking together in the Anishinaabe language. Music for the program is courtesy of Burnt Project One. If you have comments or story ideas, visit my website at bombsedha.com. That's B-A-M-O-S-E-D-A. And thanks for listening to Bomb Siddha.